I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. If you're popping into a coffee shop or bakery in Vermont, you might find an item on the menu that includes CBD. That stands for cannabidiol, a chemical compound found in cannabis. There are several cannabinoids or chemical compounds found in cannabis, and you might be more familiar with THC, the psychoactive chemical compound which makes people feel high sometimes. CBD is not the same. People use CBD for other reasons. But to the casual observer, it might be difficult to tell what those reasons are. You can get CBD in lotions, in honey, in coffee, in muffins, infused in water, in dog treats, in their own pill caplets, in smokable joints. But why would you want to consume CBD? What are its purported medical benefits, and how does it make you feel? Oh, and also, is it legal? We're going to get into all of that today, and we are joined by Karen Lounsbury, a professor of pharmacology at UVM. She designed and teaches UVM's course on medical cannabis. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks for the invitation.
And Andrew Listurgeon is the chef and owner of Monarch and the Milkweed, a pastry shop and confectionery in Burlington that emphasizes CBD-infused products. Andrew, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jane. Thanks.
Karen Lounsbury, can you start us off by just explaining what CBD is?
Well, that's a good question. So cannabidiol is one of the components that's made by the plant cannabis sativa. And it really was discovered as the little brother of THC because THC was discovered to be the psychoactive component in cannabis. CBD actually has a lot of different properties from THC. It doesn't actually bind to the cannabinoid receptors that THC binds to. But we now know that it definitely has some actions in the body. And those are the ones that we're trying to use for medicinal purposes, anti-anxiety purposes, pain. But it's really a pretty different chemical and binds to different receptors than THC.
All right. So people who are familiar with marijuana, who maybe have gotten high off THC, it's not the same thing. It doesn't do the same thing. It is a chemical compound found in cannabis, but not the same as THC.
Right. It's related. It has a very similar structure, but it doesn't bind to the same things in your body.
Okay. So what does it do to or what is it purported to do, and how do we know whether it does those things or not in terms of its medicinal benefits and how it makes you feel?
So the primary medicinal benefit is its anti-seizure activity and anti-pain activity. And there's still a lot of dispute because there's not really good evidence for how it does that. But there are some ion channels that can be blocked by cannabidiol. And those are involved in pain pathways and involved in seizure. It's called the TRIP channel. And that's probably the highest likelihood for how it's having its action. And because it binds and blocks that receptor, it reduces excessive neuron output. So you have less pain and less likelihood to have a seizure.
And that's actually been studied. There have been medical studies, double-blind scientific studies that show this to be true.
Very clear studies for seizure. And in fact, we have an FDA-approved CBD formulation. For pain, it's a little less clear because the difficulties with doing the controls compared with THC, it doesn't seem to have as high of an activity, but it does have definitely some medical benefit.
And you mentioned there is an FDA-approved drug that includes CBD, and this is an anti-seizure medication?
Yes, it's called Epidiolex. It's made by GW Pharmaceuticals. It's a British company, so they have a lot of THC and CBD chemicals that they're trying to get past for different conditions, spasticity conditions, and they got it approved from the US FDA for seizure.
What made you want to study CBD?
Well, I started out as I was given the task to start a medical cannabis course. Didn't know that much about it, but in the course of researching the topic, discovered that it not only has a really interesting background history, chemistry, medical use, but it's one of those that we don't have enough information about, so I got really interested in.
Andrew Listurgeon, what about for you? What got you interested in CBD?
We started our business with the hopes and dreams that the word milkweed would be our cannabis confection brand. And we got to through some negotiations and some chats with some of our friends and current partners, And it just made sense that we launched it. And I didn't quite know the severity or the impact I was sort of pushing through July of last year. But since then, a lot of other people have launched it. Green State Gardener was a pioneer as well, before us even. So it was a way to get our foot in the door and launch our cannabis confection brand. I've been working in dispensaries here in Vermont for 5 or 6 years, thanks to the owners of Hen of the Wood, introduced me to Kalva Monique, the owners of the Montpelier dispensary. And it just made sense. And made sense.
Why? Why was this something that you wanted to do? Because, you could just have a pastry shop that serves, lovely breakfast, and people can come in and get their muffin and coffee and no connection to CBD or cannabis at all. So what was it that you were saying, this makes sense?
Selfishly, I'm fascinated with sort of unfolding markets that go from black to gray to legal. My business partner is an owner of Zero Gravity. So a lot of know-how and understanding of prohibition and how that unfolded many, many years ago, and it's similar to what's happening today. And with this confection brand Milkweed, that is a cannabis confection brand, we're finding that through the shop, the virgin side of our shop.
By virgin, you mean non-CBD?
Non-CBD,
infused.
Brunch all day, sort of a third place coffee joint. You can have cocktails at night, dates, anything you want. But we also have this auxiliary, yet to be very meaningful, confection brand Milkweed. And we're finding that we're in touch with a certain demographic that would never have sought out purposefully a 420 brand or an experience with an edible of any kind. And we're finding that it's working well in so many ways.
Let's go to Tara calling in from Bridgewater. Hi, Tara. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have been using CBD products for a year now. And as a waitress, we're on our feet all the time. And with the CBD, I have no pain. I can easily do a 12 or 16 hour shift. I use the oils, the capsules, and the transdermal patches on the tops of my feet. It has been such a blessing to find it. And in the year that I've been using CBD, I've lost 55 pounds because I'm able to move more.
Tara, when you use it, do you feel anything that you attribute to using it other than less pain and more ability to push through your shifts?
I don't feel anything like a high or anything. I just have no pain. If I try to do a shift without it, my feet hurt that I can't stand anymore. I just need to sit. And with using it, I don't feel anything. I can just keep going.
Thanks for calling and sharing your experience. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's get another one from Afi in Johnson. Hey, Afi. Hey, Afi, you there? Hi, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I heard an article on CBD, maybe your program, about a month ago, and then I read a full-page article in the Burlington County Times. And then I went and bought it because I was having severe pain all the way down my back and my legs. I was taking all this junk from the doctor. I went to a local store around here, bought 3 pills. It cost me $1.50 a piece. I said I wasn't going to buy any more. I took one pill. Overnight, the pain disappeared. I took another pill the next day. I had no pain in the past month. Okay? I went and bought a bottle of it just in case any pain comes back, but nothing's come back.
Afi, thanks for sharing your perspective. Let's get one more in here before we go back to our guests from Brian in Montpelier. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What about you?
So, pretty good. Not too bad. I just wanted to call. I have my own point of view. So I would take CBD at night, and I still do occasionally. And I found it helps me relax. So, I try to stay on pretty much a high level all day. I drink quite a bit of coffee and try to accomplish as much as I can during the day. And then once evening comes, I have difficulty relaxing, switching over from day to night. And I found that CBD definitely helps with that. And one of my concerns about it is I found that the next day, somewhere around 3 o'clock, I hit like a brick wall. basically, you know, when I first started taking it, the next day I would, you know, I'd be ready for a nap by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I mean, as far as CBD goes, I'm in the mental health field, and I know psychologists and psychiatrists that not only advocate for CBD, but also use it themselves.
Hmm.
And for that reason, you know, I would advocate for anybody to try it if they have pain or for substance abuse. You know, for me, having that trouble relaxing, I would find that, you know, come nightfall, I'd be ready for a drink. And, you know, to try to curb that, the CBD helped quite a bit.
Well, Brian, thanks for sharing your experience as well. Professor Lounsbury, we've had three people who use CBD for varying but somewhat similar reasons. You know, Brian uses it to relax and sort of get ready for bed. And I've heard of people using it for sleeping. Afi and Tara use it for pain. And Tara says on her waitressing shifts, she really feels a difference using it versus not using it. Do those all sound like legitimate ways that CBD could be operating on a person's body and making them feel and react?
Well, it's great because this is what we've seen with this whole area of cannabinoids, is that the testimonials pile up and then the social pressure to legalize moves forward. And it's really unusual compared to most other types of medications where they're developed first and then marketed by the pharmaceutical companies. So it's clear that these testimonials aren't just coming out of nowhere, but we do still have some limited clinical trials. And I want to make the point that CBD having these activities now, when they did the original THC trials for pain and they would use whole plant cannabis, they used hemp as the control. And hemp has a lot of CBD in it. So there was always a very high placebo effect in a lot of those studies. And it may be explained by the fact that CBD was in there.
Oh, interesting.
And I'll also add that we are trying to set up a clinical trial with oncologists to look at whether peripheral neuropathy, which is pain in your fingers after you've taken cancer chemotherapy drugs, for example. And we've had to jump through all kinds of hoops with the getting it from the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and we can't do a normal patient study, and it's been very difficult for us here. So a lot of the studies have to go on in other countries.
One of the interesting things, though, about CBD is that you often hear that it can do, I mean, it feels like it can do everything and anything. You know, it can help you sleep, but it can also make you feel more energized. It can reduce your pain. It can make you feel more centered. It's not going to get you high, but you might feel something, but you might not feel something. And it's hard to know with so many different testimonials, but also so many different claims, because it's not an FDA-regulated substance. What's legitimate?
Yeah, that's an issue too, because since it isn't regulated, you can't be sure of exactly how much you're getting. And there's always a therapeutic dose for medication. So if you're below that, you may not feel anything. Or if you're too high, you might be feeling a side effect. And we don't have a real good handle on that for CBD. But we do have some clear indications that it has some of these effects. And I think as more public pressure pushes and more legalization occurs, if they just reschedule CBD, which would be very easy, it's not psychoactive, then we could do a lot of those, you know, real controlled trials and find out what dose is actually effective.
So Andrew Listurgin, you brought some of the things that you make at Monarch and the Milkweed, and you're a confectionery, so the things that you brought are candies, kind of, you know, bonbons, truffles, that kind of thing. Can you talk a little bit about a couple of them? And you actually put on them what the dosage of CBD is. So how do you figure out the dosage? How do you make sure? And what are you, I mean, how does one even know how much they should be having if they are choosing to try CBD?
I might mimic Karen's reply a minute ago about how sort of impossible it is to answer that question perfectly today. I think in a decade or more after the pressures persuade the research to happen and some efficacy over the next decade will prove what the answer to that question is. But we recommend for people who are starting to try this for the very first time, who might have questions about pain or anxiety similar to your callers a few minutes ago, that they start with a lower dose, a 20 milligram dose. We also tell them that you can't really overdose on this. Even if you were to accidentally take 1 or 2 or 300 milligrams, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but you're not going to be you know, dangerously debilitated or have any high or drunken effects. In fact, just the opposite. That I sort of describe CBD, and I don't think this is a perfect description, but I think it crosses a few bases and is somewhat correct that it sort of gets you back to homeostasis. So if you think about what a drink does or what a THC joint does or any other drugs, cocaine or otherwise, it gets you away from homeostasis. So you get high or you feel different or escaping from what homeostasis is. This has a boring, lame effect, which is to get you back to homeostasis. Those aren't words that should describe a brand I'm trying to grow financially, but that's the point. It's sort of if you think about, you know, reduction of anxiety, reduction of pain, helping to put you to sleep at the appropriate time. All of those things bring you back to a healthy homeostasis. But to answer your question, we recommend starting at the lower dose, which are the two products that we launched on day one, our 20 milligram pieces. And we've experimented and we go as high as currently 70. And we've got.
And how do you know? How do you know that this one has 20 milligrams and this one has 70?
We are we're working with a couple of very high integrity labs in the state of Vermont. All the hemp or CBD oil that we use in our shop is locally harvested in Vermont and processed by one of three labs that we're working with very closely. One of these labs is not something you can sort of accidentally stumble into. It takes a group of extremely high integrity individuals with capital, political know-how, legal know-how, and scientific know-how. And these partners of ours are able to give us CBD in a perfect ratioed format that works well with our confections. We use a couple of different concentrations. They supply testing for us. We occasionally get third-party testing to check our work. And the oil that we procure from them is a very, very metered, strict percentage dosed out oil. Some of the oil that we buy is 75 milligrams per gram of oil. We've bought as high as 415 milligrams of CBD per gram of oil. And just with simple math, you know, you can infuse edibles with this. I'm going to revert back to some of the best advice or a phrase that a mentor of mine gave me when I was 19 to 20 working for Jean George in New York City. He would always say, everything is an emulsion. And as a pastry cook, everything is an emulsion. And that's true. If you think about even salad dressing on your salad, it wouldn't make sense if one bite had all the salad dressing on it. It should be equally distributed. This dosing accurately takes that to an extreme. So if you understand that everything is emulsion, and you start with that concept and then you infuse perhaps a recipe that might produce 100 or 200 or 600 confections, as long as it is emulsified extremely properly, and we check our math religiously. We've got a couple of different calculators and generators that help us do that. We're making it right now back at the shop as we speak. And the third-party testing would suggest that we are pretty accurate. And our goal is plus or minus 5%. Typical success, and Karen, correct me if I'm wrong, is a little bit more than that even. And so we're well under the window of successful dosing. But it is up to the individual. You know, are you happy with 20? Are you happy with 50 or 70? And in the very near future, we're going to start to incorporate other cannabinoids and terpenes to sort of enhance certain roots that we would like to sort of push in certain pieces, whether it's good for sleep, good for energy. We're launching a caffeinated piece in another week and a half for Maglanero, which is
maybe a coffee shop based in Burlington.
Coffee shop and a long-term partner of ours based in Burlington.
Well, and you know, it's interesting to hear about this. And one of the remaining questions I have is, how would you know if 20 milligrams or 70 milligrams is right for you if it's not something that you necessarily feel immediately? We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about what we've been sort of swirling around here in the other parts of the conversation, which is, what's the legal status of CBD federally and in the state of Vermont? And let's hear from a few more callers. Sue is on the line with us from Westport. Hi, Sue. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling in to say that my older cat is on CBD. He had heart problems, and it's thought that he had a stroke. He was having a lot of difficulty walking and just didn't seem really with it. And since he's been on CBD, he's walking around more. He just seems to be livelier and doing much better.
Sue, is this something that your vet recommended? Or did your veterinarian actually tell you, go ahead and give this to your cat?
I actually asked my veterinarian about it, and he said, yes, that could help him. And we really, he is on other medications, but we really didn't want to put him on more medications. And so this was kind of an alternative for the pain, kind of wondering if he was in pain. And he said, yeah, and he had actually given us a sample of it, and we started giving it to him, and we noticed that there was quite a difference.
Well, Sue, I appreciate you telling me about it. That's very interesting. Thanks for that. And just to quickly address this question, you know, some veterinarians are recommending this for cats and dogs, but Professor Lounsbury, my understanding is that human doctors who are treating humans are not allowed to recommend CBD except for the one FDA-approved drug. Is that right?
Yeah, as far as I know, I don't think veterinarians are officially allowed to recommend it either. With respect to the toxicities, the dangers are very low. So I think there's some leeway there. But yes, physicians are not permitted to, except on prescription, to recommend CBD.
Right, because if you have a medical marijuana prescription, then your doctor is allowed to suggest it?
No.
So except on prescription, meaning that anti-seizure drug?
Meaning either the anti-seizure drug or Marinol, which is synthetic THC.
Ah, so doctor is allowed to recommend that?
Yes.
Huh. Does that seem reasonable to you, that approach to prohibition for doctors?
It's a very complicated process because back when they did the original laws to make it illegal, they made the entire cannabis plant and all cannabinoids illegal. So they were all Schedule One, meaning that it has no medical use. And over time, because of social pressures, there was legalization of synthetic THC for pain, but that has a lot of side effects because THC alone is acts too strong. And it's thought that the CBD can counteract some of those side effects of THC, which is why whole plant cannabis is preferred by patients. And then the studies on CBD alone, now we have Epidiolex, which is FDA approved, and it's considered what's called Schedule 5, which has no addicting properties, very low toxicity. They haven't found any toxicities, and very low addiction. So when you compare THC and CBD, THC in the Marinol form, which is the synthetic form, it's Schedule 3, which has some addicting properties. And we know that marijuana does have some propensity for addiction. But with respect to the laws, it's considered a supplement when it's put in these products. And in that case, it's not regulated. So there's very little risk in physicians at least saying, well, you could try it if you want. But if you actually tried to prescribe it, that would be against federal law.
One of the questions we've gotten is CBD okay for someone who's pregnant to take?
That's a good question. As far as we know, CBD doesn't have any effects on the unborn fetus. That said, it's always a risk because we may just not know. We know THC has the potential for being a danger to the fetus. So smoking cannabis for any kind of symptoms that you might have while you're pregnant is not a good idea because it could affect the developing fetus. CBD, we know it has effects on seizures. So because seizures are part of brain development, in that a lot of seizures develop because of changes in brain development, there's a bit of caution in taking an oral CBD for a pregnant woman. But the lotions and things that you might put topically, very low risk.
Let's go to Jackie, who's calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Jackie. Go right ahead.
Hi. I've had knee problems that got very severe about 2.5 years ago. And it actually was making it very difficult for me to walk. I couldn't walk and up and down stairs at all.
So I started physical therapy, and I also did chiropractic. I did massage therapy, and I did cranial sacral therapy for about 2 years. And then I got some CBD oil, a salve with 600 milligrams in it, and I used it on Friday, and by Monday, the swelling in my knees went down. And that was 6 months ago, and I am now completely pain-free in both knees.
Huh. Jackie, thanks for sharing that. That's an interesting perspective. I want to roll through a couple more here. Nick is calling in from St. George. Hi, Nick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
So what's your experience? What are you sharing?
So I'm a combat veteran from the last Operation Enduring Freedom. And since I've gotten out of the military, I have started taking CBD via tincture. And I can't speak highly enough about it. It eases all my back pain that I've developed over the years. And even my girlfriend can tell the difference when I take it or not. She'll ask me, you know, did you take your CBD today? Because it does limit some of the anxiety and some of the just irritability that I have occasionally. And I just can't speak highly enough. And I just have one question. And what would be the best bang for your buck in terms of CBD? And what's the best way to find it nowadays? And I'll take my answer offline.
Nick, thanks for the call and for sharing your experiences. Andrew, maybe you'd be well poised to answer Nick's question.
I can confidently say that it's not milkweed. We embrace CBD and we turn it around in sort of this sort of a little bit of glamour, a little bit of whimsy. There's a culture
and a lot of sugar
and some chocolate and butter and everything else. But our brand is whimsical, and it sort of represents the culture of edibles that I think will always be associated with cannabis or marijuana or CBD. Unlike, you know, there's not a culture of edibles associated with ibuprofen or whatnot. But there are multiple ways to, you know, purchase CBD and many different formats, like the caller that just suggested that he uses a tincture. There are a couple of local grocery stores, for lack of a better term, that sell a lot of different local Vermont and Western CBD oils and salves and tinctures.
When you say, for lack of a better word, than grocery store, are they not regular grocery stores?
They're grocery stores. CBD is represented in this new sort of space in a grocery store that we're talking about today. It's medical, it's edible, it's salves. What is it quite? But for the best bang for your buck is probably going to be a bottle of pills that you know contains a certain dose of CBD. Look for what's called full spectrum CBD or whole plant for lack of a better word. Not isolate, and like Karen was talking about a few minutes ago, there are other cannabinoids, including minimal legal amounts of THC that can sort of escort CBD and vice versa, and other cannabinoids in a better controlled way that could be more effective and more bioavailable than just CBD alone.
So there are more concentrated doses in pill forms or in tinctures or oils. Yeah, Karen, you wanted to say, we're running out of time, so I also want to talk legality, but go right ahead.
I just wanted to add quickly that taking it by pill, there's a lot of metabolism that happens to it. So the tincture where you put it under your tongue is probably a little bit better and higher dosage for somebody who has more severe pain or severe effects. By pill, it's useful anti-anxiety. There's been good reports for that. But with pain, it seems as though under the tongue where it gets right into your bloodstream as well as you're swallowing it seems to be the highest way to get the dose.
Yep, totally agreed, yeah.
So what about the legality? I mean, hemp is legal in states where it's been legalized to grow under certain special, special legal parameters, like a research institution that's growing research plots. And as we know, CBD is grown not from the same plants that are grown for THC. But Andrew, you do this for a business. So, you're in this sort of legal gray area, which it sounds like you like. But how would one know what's legal and not legal?
It is definitely a gray area. We are not equipped to challenge any state or federal law. I'm willing to sort of be a pioneer and set precedent, but not if it compromises any legalities that are at the forefront of our business. We've got a bank loan with People's United Bank that's federally insured. So we are, you know, very strict, and we've got a couple of teams of attorneys that advise us on a couple of things, both here in Vermont and nationwide. And we're affiliated with the best partners anybody could ask for in the state, who know exactly what the law is on any given day. It's a constantly evolving story that's unfolding. It changes day to day to day. I can't keep up with it, and I'm thankful to have partners that can. But we do not have any interest in challenging or breaking any federal or state law. We like to be right on the line and ready to go.
And Karen Lounsbury, just in a couple of seconds, it sounds like you'd like to see CBD be changed, its legal status, so more research could be done on it.
Yeah, because they're separate cannabinoids, it would not be a difficult process to reschedule at least cannabidiol so that it could be more seriously looked at with clinical trials to find out what its real effectiveness is and to open up the market so that other people could study it. And with whole plant cannabis, you know, again, to potentially reschedule the THC to at least Schedule 2 so that it could be studied in a better way.
Well, boy, lots of questions coming up, lots of you sharing experiences. Let us know what questions didn't get answered that you'd like to know the answers to, and we'll see if we can get them. Karen Lounsbury is a professor of pharmacology at UVM. Andrew Listurgeon is chef and owner of Monarch and the Milkweed, a pastry shop and confectionery in Burlington. Thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you very much.